Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Black Metal Altar. I'm your host, Monslight. How's everybody doing out there? Had a good week? Mine's been alright, thanks for asking. Yeah. This week I'm really, really excited because I'm going to be doing an essential black metal release. I'm going to be reviewing A Blaze in the Northern Sky by Dark Throne. Now, this album is obviously very, very important to a lot of people within the scene. If you were to ask anyone their top 10 most influential black metal albums, this one would probably be in it. If not this one, one of the other two, you know, they call them the Unholy Trinity. That's Blaze in the Northern Sky and Under a Funeral Moon and Transylvanian Hunger. One of those three, if not all three, will be in people's top 10 most influential black metal albums. So, without further ado, let's get on with the review of A Blaze in the Northern Sky by Dark Throne. Intro, it still gets me. I remember the first time I heard that. Like I say, this wasn't one of the first black metal albums I ever heard. The first black metal album and black metal song I heard was Burzum, A Lost Forgotten Sad Spirit. And obviously, great album, great song and everything like that. But, or EP, I should say. But it's not evil sounding. It's hypnotizing. So when I first heard A Blaze in the Northern Sky and that intro, I just was not ready for it. This was like edge of your sheet, edge of your sheet kind of stuff. You know, it still gets me to this day, man. It's so good. And just when that blast comes in at the start after that intro, but let's just go back to that intro though. I mean, it's so foreboding and dark, and the chants, I believe Fenris does the chants. So Fenris is the drummer. And I swear it's him doing the chants, and it's got that low kind of, it's probably a floor tom that's just hitting, and, you know, it's got reverb on it and stuff, so it sounds like the banging of a war drum or something like that. And over the top, you've got Nocturne Occulto doing them creepy witch-like vocals with, "We are ablaze in the northern sky." And then it just goes fucking ballistic into this blast beat, and Nocturnal Culto's scream, and he's like fucking chuckling mid-scream because it's this is fucking evil. And man, how that doesn't get anybody who's into black metal music, or even if you're not into it, like, come on, when have you ever heard anything like that before? And the fact that this album came out in 1992, it was recorded in 1991. If you listen to any interviews with Fenris, he always says, like, "Oh, well, this album was from 1991. I know it was released in 1992, but yeah, we say 91 because that's when it was recorded." So, 92 officially, but it was recorded in 91 through Peaceville Records. Originally, they fucking hated it, and they said that they weren't going to release it until they could get their hands on it and edit it, and, you know, they weren't ready for the sound of it. At this point, no one had really heard black metal done this way. And they threatened Darkthrone and said, look, we ain't going to release this. Your first album, Soulside Journey, was a straight death metal, and we really liked that, and we were hoping for another release like that. And Darkthrone were like, fuck you. We're going to do what we want. So they handed the final mix to them, and they were like, the fuck is this? Let us edit it, and then maybe we'll release it. And Darkthrone were like, no, we'll just take it to Death Like Silence, you know, Euronymous' label from Mayhem. And he'll release it. So Peaceful kind of, you know, tail between their legs, they were like, oh, fine, all right, we'll release it. And I bet they're fucking glad about that now, you know. Yeah, the vocals on this album, as always, Nocturnal Culto, it's like he just gets a few beers in him and just goes fucking mental. And very aggressive, very similar to me to the Death Crush vocals, speaking of Mayhem there, obviously, you know, but not as high-pitched and almost sounding more evil than Death Crush, you know? Yeah, not as high, but still very, very harsh, and a lot of reverb on the vocals as well. I think that's what adds to it. And later on, Darkthrone, they obviously kind of take the reverb off the vocals, and especially on the latest album, Arctic Thunder, you know, that you can hear the vocals a lot better. But the reverb on the vocal track on this really, really does work. Lots of drum variations in this first song, Catharian Life Code, and throughout. You know, it's not just an album of straight blast. It's not like Transylvanian Hunger, where it's that simple blast all the way through, that hypnotic blast. You can really hear the death metal elements that still linger in Darkthrone at this time on this album. There's lots of variation. But, well, they said, Fenris's quote is saying that it's death metal riffs played in a black metal style. And I really can really hear that. And I think if anybody's into death metal and they're looking to get into black metal, this is probably the route that you go down, and a route that a lot of us went down when we were getting into and discovering black metal. But that doesn't undermine it. I'm not saying that, oh, it's just a death metal ripoff album that's recorded poorly. No, it has that black metal vibe to it, and there's the hypnotic element there. And that's why it's so important to so many people. There's a lot of breakdown riffs in this album. Like I say, it's not just straight blasts all the way through. There's a lot of breakdown and D-beat riffs. Very reminiscent of Hellhammer and Celtic Frost, which obviously the guys from Darkthrone have said that, you know, they were highly inspired by them. There's a brilliant bit in this first song where there's an inhale scream. And let me play it to you, and I'll show what I mean. Yeah, so there, that is what you would call an inhale scream. So let me give you an example. When you talk and when you scream and when you sing, 99.9% of the time, you are exhaling. If you inhale when you talk, it sounds like this. And it sounds stupid. It doesn't work. But in a screaming capacity, it can work on occasion, but you know, a lot of death and grind bands, and also occasionally in various other styles of metal as well, use an inhale technique. And a lot of the time, people use inhale technique because they can't scream, quotation marks, properly. And it's a good effect to have. And you don't want to do inhale screams a lot of the time because they're very unsafe. Because if you think about it, you think of all the dust and the shit in the air. If you're inhaling, you're just bringing all of that into your lungs and you'll end up damaging your voice. Not only that, it's not the natural way you want to project your voice. But on the odd occasion, god damn, it sounds good. You know, one of the best metal vocalists, probably of all time, definitely at the moment, is a guy called Travis Ryan from Cattle Decapitation. I love that band. Sin and Play Live. They're really, really good. Great drummer, great guitar work. But the vocals from Travis Ryan, he's like up there with the best ever. He just makes crazy ass noises that in any other context just wouldn't work. But he seems to fit them into kind of like a musical aspect to suit the Cattle Decapitation songs. And he uses this inhale technique from time to time. And to me, I call it kind of like a velociraptor sound. So like I say, your exhale is like, you know, kind of like low death metal growl or whatever. Obviously, you can do high pitch stuff as well, you know, black metal screeches, etc. But the inhale, that's obviously where I'm sucking in air into my lungs. So it's like this. I need to get away from the mic a little bit because this might be a little bit loud. Hold on a second. Yeah, so that kind of thing. So that's an inhale scream. But what's really interesting about the fact there's an inhale scream in this Dark Throne song is because of where it is in the mix. And that's the funny thing. It's not actually in the mix. As far as I can tell, where that scream is in the mix, it's either been boosted or it's been recorded over the top of the final mix track because it really cuts through and it doesn't sound like any of the vocals that we hear before or after it. It's very much its own kind of entity. And I find that really, really interesting. So if you imagine like a Logic project that you've got going on, or Cubase or Audacity or whatever you use, and obviously there's multiple tracks or regions, and if you record a song, you know, you got your two guitars, your bass, your vocals, your drums, whatever, you then render or bounce that project down so it's one file, you know, an MP3 or a WAV file or whatever. If you were then to upload that full WAV file to another project and then record something else over the top of it, it wouldn't sound mixed in. You know, it would sound like a separate entity. And that's what that inhale scream in this song sounds like to me, and how it was done is really, really interesting. But every time I hear it, I just clench my fist and, ah, oh, goddamn, it's so good. Fucking love it. Yeah, and then, I mean, you move on to the drums. I know I spoke briefly about them. Fenriz obviously drums on this album, as he does on every album. There's a lot of what in the black metal world we say is the thunder roll. Now, that is basically where the toms on the drum kit, so you've got your high tom, mid tom, and your floor or low tom. Sometimes you've got two floor toms, and one's usually tuned a bit lower than the other, so you've got kind of like four options of toms to choose from. Now, thunder roll is obviously where you do a roll, usually starting from high to low, and those are pushed up into the mix. Hellhammer from Mayhem did this a lot on the De Mysterious album, and it really, really works. It kind of became the epitome of black metal drumming, really, like a real obvious technique. And it's always been a bit of a shame to me because Fenriz is such a great drummer. He really is. But he's often undermined by, you know, players like Hellhammer and Frost from Satyricon and 1349. Those guys are like, you know, and Inferno from Behemoth. Those guys are like the top of the chain when it comes to black metal drumming. But Fenriz, and I think he gives himself less credit than he deserves. And that kind of then seeps out into the ether and everyone goes, oh yeah, he's not a great drummer, but you know, it does the job. I think he is a very good drummer. And I think he's being very modest. And I think he undermines himself. Because you listen to this album especially, and I like to say he's kind of like the David Gilmour of black metal drumming, is that he knows when to shut up, he knows when not to turn on the technique, he knows when to just sit back and let everything else, you know, just keep that drive going. Kind of like how Ringo Starr did in the Beatles. A lot of people give Ringo and players like that, you know, give them shit. But, you know, the Beatles wouldn't work with fucking Chris Adler drums, you know? So, yeah, Fenriz, you're a great drummer, man. You really are. Don't undermine yourself. And you always say like, oh, I just try and simplify stuff. And yes, you do. But it fucking works. That doesn't make you any less of a great drummer. So moving on to track two, which is called In the Shadow of the Horns. Again, this is a very, very classic song in the black metal scene. And it's a bit cheesy, but I like it. Like, it starts off, you know, with, you know, the guitar riff and everything. But then just before the vocals come in, there's the classic Nocturnal Culto. And then the vocals start. And it's tongue-in-cheek. It's corny. But fuck, it's Dark Throne. They can do what they want. You know, the guitars on this track, it's really interesting because the guitars are kind of like a 6-8 rhythm. So 1-2-3-4-5-6, 1-2-3-4-5-6, 1-2-3-4-5-6. But the drums keep kind of like a straight 4 beat throughout. And that just gives it that real kind of beefy, headbang, slow, dirgy style that is reminiscent of death metal, but works so well, especially with the recording of this album, gives it that black metal vibe. And yeah, I fucking love this song. Track 3 and track 4 to me, so Paragon Belial and Where Cold Winds Blow, they suit the album, they work, but they're not the ones that stand out for me. The tracks that really stand out for me on this album are obviously track 1, Catherian Life Code, In the Shadow of the Horns, Ablaze in the Northern Sky, which I'll move on to in a second, and The Pagan Winter. But those middle two tracks, Paragon Belial and Where Cold Winds Blow, yeah, they're fine. You know, all I can think of is Ross from Friends. It's fine. I'm fine. You know, but yeah, they work. They suit the album, but they just don't really do anything for me. Obviously, moving on to Ablaze in the Northern Sky, the song itself, fucking hell, it's so, so good. And the screams on Ablaze in the Northern Sky stand out as well, as always. Nocturnal Culto, fantastic, fantastic vocalist. And obviously, drums throughout, Fenriz does a really, really good job. Obviously, rhythm guitar on this album was played by Zephyrus. I hope I'm saying that right. He's obviously since left the band, but he played on this album. And, you know, his playing, as far as I know, absolutely fantastic. The lead guitar was played by Nocturnal Culto. And there's no real kind of information on who wrote which riffs and et cetera, et cetera. But as a pair, works really, really well. This album, then, is essential. It's kind of hard to give it a rating, and I kind of don't want to give it a rating, but it's such an essential album for black metal, and I've really enjoyed this week listening to it again and actually sitting down and really dissecting the musical elements to it. Obviously, you don't tend to listen to albums in that way, so that's why I'm enjoying doing these review episodes so much, is because you actually sit there with a pen and paper and you write down what you hear and the musical aspects to it. And I'm finding that really, really enjoyable. Like I say, hard to give a rating. I'm going to give 9 out of 10, but it's a 10 out of 10 for the fact that it's essential. But I'll give it a 9 just because of those two middle tracks. Like I say, Paragon Belial and Where Cold Winds Blow aren't really up to scratch with the other songs on the album. The other songs just stand out so
much.
Here at the Black Metal Alder, we apologize for the technical difficulties. We're all sorted now, so back to the show.
What in the fuck happened there? I have no idea what was going on. But yeah, back to this album. Fantastic album. Maybe that was like the gods of black metal saying, you're giving this a 9 out of 10? We're going to fuck up your podcast, matey. Matey? Don't know why they're fucking pirates. But yes, 9 out of 10. But it is essential. And I'm guessing everybody out there listening to this podcast has listened to this album. But if you haven't, fucking hell, man. Go out and buy it. Listen to it. It's so fucking good. And I've really enjoyed this week. Really enjoyed listening to this again in depth. And obviously, it will always be a classic. Not because of the shit surrounding it, like the church burnings and the murders and stuff. It's just that good. And if you want to get into black metal, or you want to get a friend into black metal or whatever, this is the album to give them. Surely. So now I move on to my non-metal song of the week. This week, I've picked a song by The Dead Tongues, and this song is called Wildflower Perfume. And the reason I've picked this song is because I love bluegrass and country and blues music in general, and I've been listening to this band quite a lot recently, and can't beat a bit of banjo in a song. So here you go. Here's Wildflower Perfume by The Dead Tongues.
And I'll hold it.
picks two wildflowers every morning and waits in wake of love soon returning and calls for a post run every afternoon to send me
So thanks very much for listening to this week's episode of the Black Metal Altar. What are your thoughts on A Blaze in the Northern Sky? Do you think it's essential? Maybe you don't think it's essential. Let me know. Contact me at the Black Metal Altar Facebook page, also on Instagram as well. I've been your host, Monslight. I'll speak to you next time.